Hello and welcome to your weekly bite-sized podcast here on Four Lads Had a Dream. My name's Andrew, and to discuss Rangers' frankly atrocious 3-2 loss against Ross County are three of my very favourite podders. First of all, Stevie, how you doing, mate?
Yeah, I'm good. There's obviously a lot to discuss for this one.
There is. Second of all, Kenny, how you doing, mate?
Yep, been better, but yep, looking forward to it.
Cool. Well, I'm glad you are. And finally, Shona, how are you doing?
I'm very well, yeah. I'm just looking forward to tonight's discussion. I'm sure there's a lot to go through, so it shall be interesting.
Yes, indeed. We're going to try and keep ourselves restrained and keep this to a lean half hour. But I suspect if we got any of our esteemed podders, or indeed myself, onto a bit of a tangent, we could probably go for a few hours. I'm going to try and avoid that. I'm going to just quickly run down, you know, the kind of facts of the game. Obviously, Rangers lost 3-2 to Ross County. We were 1-0 up just before half-time with a own goal from the Ross County players. We did not look particularly impressive during that first half. Kenny, you actually made the point in our group chat at half-time that we had to pull a finger out or we were going to get beat. And yeah, within the first 5 minutes of the second half, we were 2-1 down. Rangers didn't really look like they were capable of responding. They then got a third through Sims in the 69th minute. Again, Rangers never really threatened, didn't really push forwards and, you know, kind of threatened to attack. We get a penalty in the 89th minute. Taff pulls one back, but ultimately it's all for naught. And Rangers drop points at a crucial time of the season. So, I mean, just on the bare facts of it, there's nothing particularly great about that. Hey, we scored two goals at least, except we didn't really. We got an own goal that looked really fluky and a penalty. So, not exactly a stellar performance by any metric. Pretty atrocious. Stevie, you were at the game. How was that for you, mate?
Disgusting, atrocious, disgraceful. Use any adjective you want to use, mate. There's no point in trying to sugarcoat this. And we give them a lot of praise when they deserve it. And they've deserved it for a number of months, the way they've played, and especially how they've kicked back. But facts are facts. 4 points in 12, they have shat the bed at all the wrong points. And unfortunately, the real issue is that we've seen all this before, Andrew. And it's the same players, the same actors, and it's the same thing. So we got away with it last week, and we all made the point that we got away with it last week in terms of getting a point in the context of the game, which was pretty decent considering how we played and how we started and how we performed. But we just took that straight into this game. And even at half-time being 1-0 up, every single one of us in that away end were saying, if we don't waken up, similar to be fair to what Kenny said in that chat, we're going to find ourselves right up against this. Four clear opportunities Ross County created in that first half. If you think about even the first minute, the boy at the back post, shot which Butland saved, they had a header, and then a shot from the middle of the goal which they put over. The warning signs were there. Now, it's all right Clement saying that he told them at half-time, but we clearly didn't fix any of it because that was a mess. And people might remember me saying there was a problem with this midfield. I couldn't quite figure out what was going on. You've seen that all to bear yesterday, Andrew. So there's so much to dissect and discuss here. But overall, I would love to say I'm really disappointed, but in which I am. But I'm not surprised because this core group will shit themselves continually, year after year, and it's a recurring theme. And yeah, I'm sorry for the French and stuff like that, but how else do you explain it with this group that they continue to do it over and over and over again? We have had this conversation. I remember writing this about Gio, about this core group, that they will cost him his job. And that was 2-3 years ago. So here we are again, and it's still as raw as it was yesterday. And I can't help but feel that they've blown it big still.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. Shona, in terms of our lineup then, a few of the familiar faces, Butland and goals, Tav, Goldson, Suter and Barisic in the defence. Barisic obviously coming back in. Lundstrom and Dowell also coming back in, with Cantwell, Silva, Seema and then Dessers. I mean, in terms of that lineup, there are a couple of new people coming in. Barisic and Dowell, I think in particular, two coming almost out of the cold in terms of how much they've contributed over the past two games. Was there anything about that lineout that stood out to you in particular? Any kind of glaring faults, or was it just a case of ultimately we've just got this team, we've got a kind of limited group of players who are actually fit and we think in a position to contribute? What did you make of the selection?
I'm a bit surprised not to see Matondo in there. I think Matondo's performances and his goals that he's contributed in the last couple of games, I think he deserved a start. Wee bit surprised, obviously, because I think he's more on form than what Fabio Silva is on. And then, obviously, you've got the likes of Barisic. I think Barisic was always going to come back into the left-back position. I think, overall, when I looked at the game, I think Tavernier was probably one of the worst defender out the four, as well as Goldson. I think the amount of balls that were getting caught over the top. So, as of the lineup, I think it's a bit surprising. I think me and Stevie spoke about this earlier on and on the game yesterday. Why has Kieran Doyle been able to get into a starting lineup from a serious injury and try and play 90 minutes? I think Clement got the team lineup wrong. I expected Sterling to be in that midfield, especially with Sterling coming back from not as serious as injury as what Doyle had. And I think Sterling would have been fitter in that role. But I think I've said to a few times now that what I'm finding wrong with the midfield, I think obviously me and Stevie have spoken about this as well, but there is definitely seems to be something wrong with that midfield. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's because Lundstrom's playing week in, week out with a different person right beside him. He doesn't look the same as what his performance have before that. And I don't know about you, but I feel as if this team, when Lundstrom's playing, he really needs to sit with another holding midfielder. I think when he sits there with the likes of Jack or Raskin or sometimes when it's Tom Lawrence, the performances weren't great with Tom Lawrence, but I just feel as if with John Lundstrom in that middle of the park, I think he really needs somebody in that's sitting beside him and not him doing all the work. And I feel as if maybe he still looks a wee bit leggy since he's came back from the European trips. But I think overall, I think maybe a few surprises that the guys thought that, or the fans thought that Goldson would have been dropped after his performances. But apart from that, it's just your usual suspects, isn't it? That you know pretty much what Clement's now going to pick. But even the likes of Scott Wright to start last week and then not even get into the squad this week, there's just a couple of surprises in there at the moment, and I think it's coming back to haunt us. I think we really need to get some more consistency in there, and we're not really getting that at the moment.
Can I say on that, I feel sorry for Clement, and I've said this continuously, that I think he's really punched above with what he scored, but I have felt in recent weeks it's a wee bit like seeing, you know, throwing shit at the wall and seeing what will stick. And I felt like that last week, and it feels like that again yesterday. I think that sometimes it doesn't really make sense, and he's trying to get something to click or something to fire. I don't know, Kenny, if you can agree with that about that. I just, like, Wright, I think Sean is right. Like, how can Wright come straight in and then be straight back out? Like, and we know, and see the amount of early substitutions, Andrew, that we're having to make in these games, even at half-time and 50 minutes and stuff like that. There's something wrong there. And this isn't one or two games. This is, you know, it goes all the way back to Kilmarnock away, having to change it at half-time like that. Cortez's injury has affected us more than I think we'll ever have realised at the time, because the balance of that squad is completely off. I think Shona's right about John Lundstrom. John Lundstrom is completely faded as well. So I know butted in a wee bit, but it does feel to me like there's a desperation in some of the selections because he's trying to find something that's working.
I think that's
with
exactly
a group
it.
That have dipped.
Stevie, I think he's aware. I think you said it last week on pod. We've all talked about it. The midfield doesn't look quite right. There's something not missing necessarily. There's just something not working in it. And I do think he is. He did say he was going to use all of his squad. But I agree with Shona. I think that Kieran Doyle appearing from nowhere kind of stunned me yesterday. I was just sitting giving it that. I'm not sure that's the type of game for who is effectively an attacking midfielder when you've got Tom Lawrence, who's been there all the time playing in that kind of position, and all of a sudden Lawrence is benched, he's on. You've got Barisic appearing from nowhere. So Scott Wright, as Shona said as well, look, Clement is not with, you know, he deserves a little bit of criticism, I think, purely on getting it wrong at times. He is, you know, but let's not kid ourselves on where he's taken us to be in this position. I don't think any of us would have envisaged that when he turned up in October. The issue I have at this minute in time is that it was across the board. You can't say there was any part of that team functioned properly, perhaps with the exception of Butland. And even then, I don't know if you noticed that in the first half. You were up at the game, guys. He wasn't coming off his line. There was a couple of times he really had to come out and get the ball and didn't do it. And that shows a lack of confidence to me in the team in general, because he's been immense for us this season, Butland. And I'm not here to criticise him, and I'm not here to particularly criticise any of them, because it's a team game and it was rotten from start to finish yesterday. I thought it was, I said last week about the first half against Celtic last week, I thought it was a horror show. I thought it was even worse for 90 minutes yesterday. Let's not kid ourselves on, it's Ross County. And we were quite fortunate that they didn't score 5, 6, 7 goals yesterday. They tore us apart from middle to front. They, you know, they just carved and walked right through us at will. So that's where my concern is, that, and this is where talking about Clement, he must have seen that in the first half. And I agree, and this is where I would give him a little bit of stick. He said that he warned the players, you should have changed that. At half time, it needed changed for me. And I don't know if we are maybe perhaps just a little bit light in the middle of the park at the minute, where we actually need another body in there for the way that Clement wants to play, which might well cause us a bother in terms of up front, because we're suffering badly as it is up there. But losing a body from up there might cause us to score even less goals. We have problems at the minute, let's not kid ourselves on. 6 goals conceded in 2 games. Lucky it's only 6. This is the wrong time to start shitting the bed. And I've got to be honest, that's what it looked like to me yesterday. Just a team terrified to make mistakes and reverting to type. From Goldson to Tavernier to Barisic to Lundstrom coming back, taking the ball off a centre-half, where the centre-half is standing, is crazy. It's never going to work. It's never going to work against anyone. I just thought it was quite stunning to watch in all the wrong ways yesterday, to be honest.
I think that's right, Kenny. And I think if we look historically, all the On This Day in Rangers history Twitter accounts, I'm looking back at some of these, and, you know, especially if you look at Walter era, it's all towards the end of the season. So there's a lot of gutting it out, 2-0 wins or 1-0 wins or 2-1 wins. Just a lot of, we need to perform, we'll get a result one way or the other, and we'll get it over the line. And that's built on solidity at the back. Some of the most successful Rangers teams have had the strong defences. Hell, our last league win came off the back of a record-setting defence that we had in the league. We've had 2 players who have been pretty consistently in that defence throughout you know, our past 6 years. And they're our captain and our vice-captain. And I think the problem is when it looks like your captain is bereft of ideas, and when it looks like your vice-captain is terrified of giving away any kind of goal-scoring opportunity, that can only affect the rest of the squad. These two are part of the, you know, leadership group that we have within that Rangers squad. And at the moment, probably just on form, those two look the worst in form at this point, just in terms of how poorly they have been performing. And you can point to Tav's goal, and you can point to Tav's numbers, and you can point to Goldson's solidity as a central defender for us over past seasons. But the point is that in the here and now, they are not performing as we need them to be, as we need them to be performing. Especially Goldson has looked shit out of confidence for a good number of weeks now. And he's meant to be the heart of that defence. At the moment, and it's unusual for me to be saying this, but John Suter looks the more assured part of that defence, which is not something I thought I'd ever be saying, especially given how, you know, John Suter has performed in some of the earlier games of his Rangers career. But the point is, we've had these players in place for a long while, and it's rare that they can put on something that will surprise us. I think we all know that we have these potential weaknesses and these potential flaws within these players. The problem is that all of these are coming home to roost at pretty much the worst possible time in this league, Shona. And it's difficult to know where to go from here. But we can see that that is starting to affect the rest of the squad as well, because as Kenny said, front to back, there wasn't a single good performance in that team. And that's strange to be saying in a 3-2 win, because on paper, 3-2 loss rather, it seems like it was a relatively balanced game. But the truth is, we've all watched that game. We know it wasn't a balanced game. So I don't know, Shona, what do we do from here? Can we afford to drop our captain and vice-captain just before the run-in?
I would personally at this moment in time, but it's not going to happen. I think if anyone's going to get dropped, it would be Golson for Balogun for me. I think Balogun probably more understands. I think Balogun's been really, really unlucky. I thought he was in really, really good form before he got his injury, and obviously then Suitors came in. Look, the manager will just not drop Connor Golson, will he, or Tavernier. Let's face it, guys. I think we can't really be doing this at this time of the season either, even though personally I think the league is already done now. I think if we can't go to their place the way we've got the mentality of these boys or these players at the moment. It's just not there. I think, as you said, we always seem to manage to shit ourselves at the crucial time, the most pivotal time of the season. Like I said, 7 games, that's all they had to win, was 7 games. And now Tavernier's now coming out and saying that, oh, every game now is a cup final. We should be 5 points ahead, like, by this moment in time, and we shouldn't have to be thinking about this sort of attitude that we've got. And for me, it's just down to the whole mentality of this group. I think, as Stevie said, it's the same core, it's the same movie that you're seeing over and over again. And when it comes to the crunch, we never seem to manage to get over the line. But it's not even that, it's the goals that we've been conceding recently as well. The goals that we've conceded are really, really poor. And then to go into a Ross County game and to get 2 goals, one of them being an own goal and one of them being pretty much not a dubious penalty, but a very, very lucky penalty, I would say, it's just not good enough. And I think what I wrote down earlier on was, I think Ross County only had 33% worth of possession, and it had one of the highest XGs that they've ever had against us. And obviously that was the first time they've ever had a win. So look, I think there's a lot of work that needs to get done with this defence. I think obviously we need to look at that in the summer. But for a moment, in this moment in time, I think it's crucial that we get Ridvan back. I think in the middle of the park, you need to go with somebody that's a bit more physical in midfield than the likes of Dowell and Lawrence at this moment in time. I think with the physicality that's going to be coming up against, well, these teams, they're going to be fighting. They're going to be wanting to look at us now and think, well, we can get a result against Rangers. I think, as I said before, I think Lindstrom really suits somebody in there that's a bit more physical right beside him as well. So I would go with the likes of maybe Sterling in midfield, or even Nico Raskin. I think Nico Raskin could have done a good job yesterday just within the tackle. And I think I mentioned this as well to Steve on the way back. What I noticed about Ross County, not only were they physical against us, but they were putting their bodies on the line. They were throwing themselves in front of tackles. And I don't know if this is just because of the discipline issue and maybe the referees that we've got up here, but we're really, really scared. I don't care if somebody gets a red card for going into a challenge that maybe saves us from a goal or whatever, but the challenges at the moment that we're making, some of them are really, really, really poor. I think yesterday, Sterling sold himself for the goal. I think it was their third goal when Lawrence wasn't physical enough with their winger to start with. And then obviously Sterling sells himself, and then Lundstrom just standing there in the middle of the park, and the guy's got a tap in. Once again, I think there was another ball that was played over the top. This seems to be an issue with us as well. And I think it was Connor Golson. He doesn't make a tackle. He doesn't go towards the player. The player then plays the ball into the middle of the box, and then it's another easy finish. I think Butling probably could have done better for one of the 2 of the goals as well. But look, it just seems to be a consistent thing where over and over again over the past few weeks, we've been conceding really, really poor goals. We did exactly the same against them the week before. And this all stems down, I think, for me, since the Motherwell game. The Motherwell loss for me, I think we've not really, really kicked on from there. I think that's really had a bad effect on Golson when he was playing against the likes of Theo Bear. And obviously, I think Tavernier had a bit of a poor game that day as well. So for me, that's the mentality. They haven't been able to get over that game. And obviously, it's carried through now. And it was just going to be a matter of time. And like I said, we said this a couple of weeks ago in the pod, all these guys need to do is win the next 6 games, and they're pretty much, they've won the league. But it's the same guys that bottle it every single time for us. And unfortunately, look, I don't know what the answer is to this at this moment in time, but I think what you need to do is the manager needs to go with the players that are on form at this moment in time. And for me, you've got to be playing Matondo over Silva. I know obviously Silva was involved with one of the goals, with the own goal with the flicked-on header, and I think he was involved with the chance that that Deser should put in the back of the net. But for me, you've got to go with Sima, you've got to go with Matondo, and you've got to go with Desers. They're the front three that have been scoring new goals this season. And yeah, I think I would rather go with them. I think I don't really know when the last time that Silva scored a goal, to be fair. But yeah, for me, I think there's got to be a lot of solutions between that, the middle of the park and the front for me, because there's just far too much space. I think even that Danda, is it Danda, the guy that's off to Hearts as well? Did you see the amount of space that he had for the ball that was played over the top against Tavernier? Why are we giving these guys this amount of space? And this has been going on for weeks now. So, like we said, I think there's definitely something wrong with the defence. They're obviously very shaky. That needs to get sorted. But who do you put in there apart from Balogun? And then, obviously, in the midfield, I think we need to really, really tighten it up a wee bit. And I think we need to go a bit more defensively for the next six games. And then up front, for me, I think you've got to go with Matondo.
I find it hard to argue with any of that, Shona. Stevie, before we came on, you were obviously very enthusiastic and excited to be talking about this game, reliving it. But I mean, as Shona says, where do we go from here? It's one thing to have a poor performance from you know, one area of the pitch or one group of players. It's another thing to have basically your entire team collapse on you at the same time. Because then it's not an easy and obvious, oh, we'll just take him out and put him in. Now we've got a position where every area of the pitch, from defence to midfield to attack, seems to be completely bereft of confidence. As Shona says, where do we go from here?
I think there's a real lack of legs in this team at the moment, Andrew. It's concerned me of how leggy we've looked. I think, you know, even when you look at last week, the substitutions changed the game from our point of view. But that midfield is hugely worrying. Chris Boyd said something today I found really interesting about John Lundstrom. And he said John Lundstrom's back to running about for the sake of running about. And he's completely out of position. And then you put Todd Cantwell in there, who's a bit of a maverick, who doesn't really play for the team as such. He's more of a number 10 who tries to wander about and has a free role kind of thing. You stick two guys in there that are kind of indisciplined or have lost their kind of positional sense. Keane Dowell's just returning. I'm with Shona. Like, the fact that he has been out for 4 months and bizarrely gets straight in the team and head of Nico Raskin, for me, it's not only concerning, but it's very difficult to understand. Now, I know that Nico against Motherwell didn't have the most outstanding performance, but in an area where we are lacking legs and enthusiasm, Andrew, I find it bizarre that we're making those choices to put Sterling on the bench when Sterling was man of the match against Celtic is one that doesn't make any sense either. And to pull him out for Barisic, who, remember, Barisic at Kilmarnock was rotten. I get to maybe add that balance. I get that. I understand that. But surely you just move Sterling somewhere else in the team. And I think that's where it comes down to decisions that aren't making sense, and goes back to my previous statement about like throwing shit at a wall. It's just something trying to get something to stick, when I think the obvious things are what you should be doing. Like I said it during the week, that we need to become harder to beat and we need to consolidate and have a boring victory. And instead we were wide open, and it's, you know, we've spoke about this, about the XGs and everything else, but your eyes tell you more than any stats or anything, and we were ridiculously wide open yesterday. The amount of transitions that Danda had on that right-hand side because he overloaded, Borna Barisic was completely lost, Fabio Silva didn't track back, and that midfield, and it basically meant because Dowell's attacking-wise, he wasn't sitting in. So the space was miles away. Lundstrom was neither here nor there. Your defence is on top. And I just think that we looked massively wild, miles open. If you're talking about, Andrew, and no disrespect to these guys, because I think they're decent, hard-working players, but come on, Josh Sims and Simon Murray ripping that team apart, come on. There needs to be a little bit of a realisation here that whoever's on that bench, Lamont, Van Hayden, Alex Ray, you've got to see that and you've got to fix it. And we could see it. And by the way, the vantage point at Ross County behind the goals is pretty shoddy. Like, you can't really... But if we're all sitting there going...
Stevie, it was still better than the angle we had on the TV.
Yeah, absolutely. But my point is, see, when you're in the gantry at Ibrox, you've got a clear view of everything,
yeah,
and you can make informed kind of rational points or irrational, whatever you want to say. But we had a crappy view behind the goals, and we were all saying it. And it wasn't just me. We were all literally saying, this is a mess. Like, we need to shore this up. And, you know, yeah, we were still creating at the other end. Seema had a header that kind of got a really good save. Desers had a couple opportunities, which, again, he should do much, much better with. Repeat and fade with him, unfortunately. But where do we... Where does somebody go? We've got a real issue with that midfield. So in order to your question, Andrew, and how do you fix this? When we used to go through, and Kenny will tell you this as well, when we went through rocky spells under Walter, under Alex McLeish or whoever, they made us hard to beat. It's first key, make you hard to beat. And we're so ridiculously wide open that that's not happening. So first changes for me, Andrew, come in that midfield. And I know Sean has mentioned dropping Goldson. If Goldson could come in for Balogun, I would do that in a heartbeat. But it won't. I don't think it'll happen. I think Sean is right. But the midfield needs fixed. And I think there's three spaces up for grabs. John Lundstrom's form has completely fallen away in the last 3, 4, 5 weeks, whatever you want to kind of call it. He has been miles off it. Whether or not he's jaded or he's just lost or what they're asking him to do, I don't know. But I'm with Shona. I think his best forms come when there's somebody holding his hand next to him and they become hard to beat and they're a kind of tight unit in there, whether that's been Ryan Jack or whoever. Obviously, Jack's been missing for a long time, but Sterling... In there, even John Lundstrom, and this is a wild shout, but you go back to Betis away when John Lundstrom was absolutely exceptional. He had Sterling come on for Cifuentes, who was in with him, and everybody said that was one of Cifuentes' best games in the 40-odd minutes before he went off injured. John Lundstrom, to me, plays, I agree with Shona, plays better with somebody there. So we need to figure out if Clement's not going to make the really big decisions, which I understand and I get, 6 games to go might be really difficult to do. He has to shore that up quickly. I don't want to see him take out Suter and put Balogun in him because I think that's too easy. I don't want to see him start Fabio Silva and take him off after 50 minutes because, again, it's too easy. Start Scott Wright and then just don't play him again. It's too easy. Make the big decisions that really need made. Otherwise, we're going to end this season not by a point behind or 4 points behind. We're going to go to Parkhead and we'll get turned over because it'll be the same guys unless there's really, really big decisions made. Tighten this up and go from there. And listen, the Tavernier Goldson question that you put to Shona is one that we've been having now for 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, whatever you want to say. It's the same guys, the same point. You know what I mean? And as I said about Gio, I said the same thing. You need to ditch these guys or they will cost you. Well, they cost you. Michael Beale cost him. So it's just
Michael Beale had some players. had some other things that cost him the game, the job as well, Stevie. But yeah, no, I take your point.
What I mean by that is, sorry, Andrew, maybe didn't. I think you're right. But I mean that they've watched managers come and go. That's my point in being. It's the same core group that have watched the managers come and go. And something has to give somewhere. Like, are we going to be sitting here in September and October having watched them do the same thing to Philip Clement? Potentially, if big decisions aren't made. So, look, there's a lot to happen this summer, a lot of big decisions to happen this summer. I think they're really crucial. For now, I'm not suggesting that we drop Goldson, Lundstrom, Tavernier, etc. But he has to be big enough to be able to look at it and identify who's properly not performing. Goldson, Tavernier, Lundstrom are all in that mix. Barisic, I think, has checked out. Personally, I think he's checked out. And he needs to be brave enough to go, if I'm all right to do it to Scott Wright and to do it to Nico Raskin and to whip Todd Cantwell off after 35 minutes in a game, maybe I should be big enough to make the really big decisions. Otherwise, I'm afraid that next week's pod will be talking about the same things and the same issues. Because if we go again like we did on Sunday, away at Dundee on Wednesday night, whether that's at Perth or Dundee, then we will face the same problems.
Can I just jump
I was going to jump in. I was actually going to ask Kenny the same question, actually, if you could answer the question. Do you not think it was a wee bit bizarre yesterday when we were losing 2-1 to take off Desers and put Kemar Roof on? for me, if you're chasing a game, why do you not just have them both on the pitch? Or why is Kemar Roof coming on to try and change this game? And maybe Kenny can answer that, but it seemed very strange, that substitution for me.
I don't know. I thought Dessers was having a poor game. And he was having a poor game, but he wasn't alone in that. I wouldn't hold my breath with Kemar Roof at all from now to the end of the season. He'll try, and he just looks not there. He just doesn't look the player that we know he can be. But the one thing I would say, Steve is talking about the making the big decisions. A statement decision there, and it's got to be made for me, is he has to drop Conor Goldson for his own benefit as well. But yeah, let's not get carried away with the negativity of yesterday's result. And actually, let's try and focus on the next six games. And the next six games, if we win them, we're going to win that league. If we win eight, we're going to win a treble. Now, as highly unlikely as that feels and sounds at the minute, the simple fact is that a statement decision for a manager to make is to drop your vice-captain. But he is so far off it, I think, that... And I'm going to kind of try and explain this very quickly. He's not going to drop James Tavernier. He isn't. The numbers are far too important to us. He's not going to do that. So you have to find a way of compensating for Tavernier's defensive frailties because he's so far up the pitch. And that is where the issue is. That particular side, and we've discussed this in the pod before, I've written about it before, that side is getting targeted by every single team in our league. Every single team does it. And it's a ball over the top, or it's a ball through the middle. And it's targeting in a space that you can double up on Conor Goldson. And we are not covering for that at all. The midfield, as you say, Stevie, there's something all right there. They're not tracking the way they should be. That's why the spaces are so big. So you have to look at that and say, what did we do there? Because whatever has happened to Conor Goldson, it's a clear confidence issue. It's the physicality that you need to be able to cover your own position and come across and cover the right back position as well. He's not got it. It's not happening there. Now, I am not 100% convinced that Leon Balogun's capable of doing that. So I would actually have Suter over there. And I would be very inclined to put Balogun at left, centre half, and see if that, even just for Wednesday night, to see if that shows it up any, because that space is enormous. And, you know, we all respect to Ross County, who totally deserved to win that game yesterday. They carved us open all day long, and particularly down, again, we said it last week, our flanks weren't right last week either. But it was so badly exposed, and particularly on our right-hand side, it was mind-boggling to watch. Yeah. And what concerned me about watching that is that as players, these are professional football players, they're seeing this happening, and they seem capable of actually saying to themselves, this is what we need to do to show that space up. They weren't doing it. They couldn't do it. And as Stevie said, on the right-hand side, because Silva wasn't coming back and Barisic, who had an absolute nightmare of a performance, I thought, yesterday, just truly awful, he's done. Barisic is done as a Rangers player. We know this. And if you're born a Barisic and you're asked... You're told that you're not playing against Celtic last week, and then you're told you're playing at Ross County, and then the guy in front of you is not bothering his backside to help you. He's checked out already. So
yeah.
You'll not have seen it, guys, because you were up at the game. But watch back on the two goals that end up coming in from the right-hand side, and Borna Barisic isn't even on screen in either of them. He's so far away from where he's supposed to be. It's absolutely pathetic. And that's why Clement has taken him off. You just went, no, he's not even, there's no effort there. But the issue is every single area of the pitch at the minute.
Yeah.
And Clermont has to find a way to get a result on Wednesday. And Stevie mentioned Walter Smith. And there was a reason why Walter Smith played with five centre-halves, two right-backs, two holding midfielders at times. And it was to make sure we did not lose goals. And, you know, people used to moan about it at the time. Steve will remember, we hated it, but we got results and it won his league titles. And something has to give with this, because at the end of the day, we are shipping goals all over the place at the minute, and it's got to stop. And it's got to stop on Wednesday, because if we do, we are, as difficult as it's going to be, we're still in this. So we need to look at getting this particular shit show that we've watched in the last two, you know, in the last two games. It is. It's been an absolute nightmare to watch the last two games. So we have to find a way of just winning a game of football at the minute. And as Stevie said, that was what Walter Smith was a master of, was making sure we found a way to win a game. So, sorry for the rant, and I don't really know how we go about it.
To be honest, I was expecting 3 10-minute-long monologues about how shit Rangers were. So, frankly, you've shown admirable restraint, as have
Kenny's
the other
Kenny's
two.
Right, though, Andrew, just to quickly say as well. See, if we're as open as we've been, I think the last six league games, we conceded a goal in every one. If we're as open as that, and we continue to be, you can forget it. You can absolutely forget it. And I think, and it goes back to, maybe it's a wee pop at Clermont, and it's not meaning to come that way, but Clermont's made easy decisions, big decisions, right? When he's taken off Cantwell to make a show of him, or he's dropped right, or, you know, Fabio Silva comes off after 50 minutes. No, I get all that. That's all kind of obvious ones. If he doesn't make the big ones, and that's my worry, like Kenny says, I think Goldson is completely fell off. Completely fell off. So I agree with that. I think there's huge questions about what John Lundstrom's doing in midfield, James Tavernier. I think you're right, Andrew. I don't think you can afford to drop him because of his numbers, but you need to fix it. You need to either put somebody out there to help him or do something to stop those areas. If Ross County are targeting your fullbacks and overloading their midfield with ease, by the way, you've got real, real problems. So I'm not sure what he does. I'm not sure how he fixes it in a short space of time. And we can all sit here and go, I'd play Raskin and do this and do that. But he needs to do something. And if he doesn't, then, and if we go with the same kind of style and setup and are as open, then that'll happen again, unfortunately.
Yeah. Listen, folks, we could go for another 2 hours tonight. There's a multitude of issues with this Rangers team. Everyone's got a view. I think all of us are just kind of in agreement there needs to be a change. Because what is happening right now isn't sustainable long term, and certainly not if we stand any chance of getting anything else out of this season, as we come into the final 6, 7, maybe even 8 games, if we manage to get past Hearts in the semi-final. So listen, to try hopefully to end on somewhat of a positive, we have our inaugural winner of our Pie of the Week competition. It's very important and serious news, and I should want you all to treat it with the same gravitas as, you know, any kind of Rangers news. Karen Kent, one of our lovely loyal listeners / viewers, has entered saying, love the pod, guys. Cheers. Thank you. Only one nomination possible. The failed trialist, Mr. Michael Stewart, the only person commentating on football that doesn't actually know the rules of the game and just plays to the green media. Now, I find nothing in that that I can argue with. All of that seems perfectly factual. All of it seems entirely deserving of a Pie of the Month award. And what's more, I think it's very fair that that results in some free pies from our lovely friends over at Pie Sports. So congratulations, Karen. I'm sure that Stevie will be reaching out to you within minutes of us finishing recording this podcast, because he's very well organized like that. And yeah, what we want, guys, obviously, over the next few weeks, this is every month, so we want your nominations in. We understand if you want to nominate half the Rangers team at the moment. I can certainly understand that. Get your entries in. Let us know what you think the Pie of the Month is, whoever it might be. And yeah, you just stand a chance of winning some free pies, which is always great. So please get those nominations in. There's also just an ongoing code that we have with Pie Sports, which will get you 12.5% off your pies, any purchase that you make there. All the links and you know, details on entry are in the description of the podcast below. So please do check that out. Shona, thank you first. I appreciate you struggling through various technical difficulties to be able to join us tonight. So thank you very much for joining. I always appreciate talking to you. And yeah, thank you.
Thanks very much, guys. I'm absolutely gutted that Stevie never made Pie of the Month. So, guys, see the next time. Just going to put in a few extra votes. That would that might have helped the algorithm of Stevie getting Pie of the Month. So, yeah, guys, cheers for that one. But it's been noted. So, but thanks very much, guys. It was a really, really good pod. And, yeah, looking forward to, well, should I say, are we looking forward to whatever we're going on Wednesday, Stevie?
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. Look. It's not great at the moment, but Andrew, the thing is, see, we're doing something like this, it always find this quite interesting. We could go in here and be, you know, it was a blip and we've got six games to go, and if we win all them, we'll win the treble and stuff like that, and blow smoke up people's arse and be disingenuous. I don't think that's what we are. I think we have to call it as we see it, and I think it would be extremely naive to sit here and say there isn't big warning signings and there isn't big problems at the moment. So can only call it what it is. There was a lot of sweary words, so apologies about that. But it's real, it is. It's got to be what we feel and what we think at the time. So, and I stood there in Ross County yesterday, as Shona did, and as plenty of other thousands of other Rangers fans did, and it was ridiculously poor. So call a spade when, you know, a spade when it's required. And I just hope that the next couple of pods we do over the next week are a lot more enthusiastic and a lot more positive. And it'll take some big decisions, I think, to get there.
Well, thank you too, Stevie, for that. listen, folks, it's been a pleasure. Kenny, how could I possibly forget you, mate? It's always a pleasure to talk Rangers with you.
Yeah. I'm going to go and pick my spleen up back up off the floor. Stevie's right. There's no point in sugarcoating that. Yesterday, it was appalling. From start to finish, big issues, big problems, and it's up to our manager to make decisions and fix it, and fix it immediately. He's got to get that sorted very, very quickly, or yep. The season will peter out and into a tiny whisper.
Yeah. Well, the positive is, finally, we are going to have a game against Dundee to hopefully pick ourselves up from quite quickly. That'll be coming up on Wednesday. One way or another, we are finally going to play this game. Dundee are obviously higher in the league, but at this point, I don't care anymore. I just want to finally play these guys. It's the third time that we've had this chance to. This time, it's actually going to happen. Either at their place or somewhere else. Quite frankly, I couldn't give a damn. Listen, folks, it's been a pleasure talking to all of you, to our listeners, viewers. It's been lovely you tuning in, checking us out. The feedback continues to be really positive. I love to see that. We appreciate all you guys are doing to help us grow this thing. It's still relatively new, but we thank you for everyone listening, tuning in, watching. It's been heartening to see, unfortunately, even in the in not so great circumstances. But we hope you continue to do so. And yeah, until we talk to you again, bye for now. Four Lads Bite Size Podcast is proud to be sponsored by Rhino Express and Clyde View Joinery, certified fire door installer and maintainer. Also in association with Rangers Pools, Zenith Coins and Alexander Campbell Interiors. Please share and follow the pod to help us grow. We hope you enjoyed the show.